Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining us on the Go and Teach radio program. My name is Ryan Goodwin, and I'm one of the preachers that works with the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. You might have seen in the news recently that the Pew Research Center, which specializes in statistics on American life, culture, religion, and politics, recently came out with some statistics on church affiliation in our country. Perhaps it's not a surprise to any of us, but the overall percentage of people in the United States who claim to be Christians is going down. Now, the numbers total might be going up slightly, but again, as a percentage of the total population of the United States, people who profess Christianity are going down. They're decreasing, which leads some to wonder, are we losing touch with society? Are we not making much of a difference anymore? Is our voice not being heard? And really, are we making any kind of contribution now as Christians to our culture? I think sometimes we look at our place in society and we wonder just how much good we're doing. Most churches, and that includes churches of Christ, mind you, but most churches in the United States are relatively small. The average size of a congregation, that includes all denominational affiliations, the average size of a congregation of professed Christians is only about 75 to 80. But even then, when you narrow down your definition of Christianity to at least what we would consider to be faithful and true New Testament Christianity, which is people who believe and profess the Bible only and practice only what the Bible prescribes in religious life and in worship and in doctrine, even if you kind of narrow it down, you still see that churches are relatively small and often considered fringe by the religious world. Many unbelievers refuse to repent when confronted by our message. It seems, or it feels to some people, like evangelism just isn't as effective as it used to be. So to some of us, it may seem like there's just not room in this postmodern, atheistic, secular, subjectively judged culture of ours for Christianity anymore. Now, lest we give up hope, we may need reminding of just how valuable we are to the world. The Christian's contribution, though seemingly minuscule when measured by things like statistics, is more appreciated by our unbelieving acquaintances than we, or even they, realize. And even if our hard work is never specifically recognized, our neighbors do get to enjoy the benefits of our presence and devotion to God in our communities. Consider just a few of the cases where the supposedly unappreciated work of a believer could have, or did in some cases, bring about great benefits to the rest of his contemporaries. Remember in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32 that God would have spared the city of Sodom if he had only found 10 righteous people living there. Even if the city would be considered small by our standards, perhaps only a few thousand people, we're still only looking at a minuscule percentage of the population. And yet, if a minuscule percentage of the population had been found to be righteous, that city would not have been destroyed by God. Consider the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah's work was tireless. How we would feel about being the only righteous person in a city of perhaps several hundred thousand people, Nineveh, tasked with the impossible job of preaching to them all, how would we feel in Jonah's situation? And yet, the influence of just one powerful preacher changed the capital city of the most powerful empire in the world. Because of the lasting memory of the faithfulness of David, the Lord showed mercy and judgment to Solomon. Read 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And that's not just Solomon also. You can see in the lives of several other kings of the southern tribes of Judah that for the sake of David, because David was such a good man, God showed mercy to his descendants. Throughout the Old Testament, in fact, God delays wrath or shows undeserved mercy because of the remnant of faithful people in Judah or in Israel. Not only that, but we need not underestimate our influence in this world. From the outside, things might seem hopeless, but there's always going to be a quiet appreciation by unbelievers for the Christian. Now, it may not be expressed in ways that we recognize, but our contribution to society does not go unnoticed. Notice that the first Christians in Jerusalem, though buffeted by the Pharisees and ridiculed by the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, still managed to make quite an impact on their contemporaries. Go to Acts chapter 2. And notice in Acts chapter 2 the way that the early Christians, they might not have been appreciated in a very public or open way, but look what it says here. In Acts 2 and verse 47, it says that these Christians were praising God and having favor with all the people. So all of the people around them, though unconvinced by the message of the gospel, nevertheless recognized the admirable qualities of those Christians in Jerusalem. Look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 13. Acts 5, verse 13. But none of the rest, that is, none of the rest of the citizens of that city, dared to associate with the Christians. However, all the people did hold them in high esteem. Again, they weren't convinced by the gospel. They didn't want to become Christians. But the people of the city of Jerusalem could at least recognize that these believers in that Jesus character have some really high standards. They have some great qualities. These are people that we should esteem. These are people that we should respect. Your influence may never produce visible results in the people around you. But at the very least, most unbelievers will admire you for your morals, your high standards, your good family life, and your righteous participation in your community and your neighborhood. We are valuable, my friends. Many may never know it, but it is entirely likely that the presence of strong Christians in our land just might be the only thing stopping God from bringing judgment upon our country for its indulgence, its decadence, and its immorality. Now, even if the world does not like people with our morals, it does grudgingly appreciate them. Christians may seem boring to some, prudish, maybe nagging, stiff, but our attitudes make us valuable to society. I'll put it this way, and I don't think that I'm being arrogant or cocky here, but Christians make great employees. I would even say Christians sometimes make the best employees. When you read what is written to Christians in Colossians chapter 3, notice what it says. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "Servants, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward." Think about that. Now, maybe Christians don't always practice that perfectly. Maybe there are hypocritical Christians, or lazy Christians, or slovenly Christians, or Christians who are cheaters. Maybe that's the case. There are people out there who claim to be Christians but don't live the life. But even with that admission, the standard that is expected of Christians is Colossians chapter 3. Christians should make the best employees. Because of all the employees at a particular business or in a particular company, of all the employees there, it is the Christian who is the one who's working for God. So, whether you're cleaning bathrooms or making semiconductors, you are cleaning that bathroom and making that semiconductor as if you're doing it for God. And that'll make you stand out. Bosses appreciate Christian employees because they're dependable, because they're honest, and because they'll give their best effort in everything they do because God commands them to give their best effort in everything that they do. Christians make great neighbors also. We're supposed to be kind, giving, Galatians 6 and verse 10, responsible, respectable. We're supposed to remember that the second greatest commandment given to us is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And again, I'll admit, sometimes Christians don't live up to that standard, but that is the standard that's set for us. That's what's expected of us from God. Our unbelieving neighbors will not go to us for a beer, but they just might trust us with watching their house while they're on vacation. They might trust us with babysitting over a lot of their contemporaries or their peers. They might trust us with marital advice rather than going to their buddy at a bar. Christians at school ought to make good students also. Christian teenagers are supposed to be respectful, decent, orderly, and willing to quietly receive instruction from those who are in authority over them. Christians ought to make marvelous politicians, school board members, advocacy group leaders, leaders in your community, leaders in your neighborhood, and other things that are similar. I want you to consider a couple verses out of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 11, notice verses 10 and 11. Proverbs 11 in the Old Testament, verses 10 and 11. It says, "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is glad shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted." I like this, and I think this verse is still true today. Even in a society that is becoming increasingly secular, even in a society where there is a larger percentage of unaffiliated or unchurched people, I still believe this is true. Our culture loves movies and stories in which the good guy lives happily ever after and the villain is punished. Emotion is added to a positive news story when the reporter adds that the subject of that piece is a happily married person who goes to church and does volunteer work. On the other hand, in general, wicked people do not like others who are similar to them. They don't trust each other. Villains never trust other villains. Sinners don't trust other sinners. When evil men perish, there is almost always resounding approval from even other criminals. For example, in prisons, there's definitely a hierarchy of crimes that is observed by people who study prison life, even among the criminals. Thieves and murderers rejoice when the child molester is punished severely. So even though it might seem like Christians are ignored by the world, our presence is appreciated. Your neighbors are happy that you live where you do. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." This verse clearly applies to all people for all time in all countries, not just Old Testament Israel. Even in a nation as secular as ours, righteous decisions are an obvious boon to society. Truly, any culture will suffer as a result of villainous or unrighteous decisions, just as any culture devoted to morality and godly ethics is going to be blessed. So, as much as we want to maintain this illusion of separation of church and state, there is no separating the need for our country to uphold absolute truth with regard to morality, purity, and ethics. It's a grave mistake to do otherwise. And as Christians, we should never feel ashamed for reflecting that in our voting and in our participation in our neighborhood and our communities. If you're just joining us on the Go and Teach radio program, we've been talking about the idea of the quietly appreciated Christian, how even though Christians are becoming a smaller percentage of our society overall, we are nevertheless appreciated, if silently most of the time, our presence does make a difference in this country. Really, not much has changed since the Old Testament theocracy of Israel. God says through the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 18, look at Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 7. God says, at one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. And if that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity that I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. The Lord may not work in exactly the same manner as he did in the stories of Israel and Judah, Assyria and Babylon, but his power is still the same. If he so decides that a nation is unworthy of peace and safety, well, he has the power and the right as God of the universe to judge it as he desires. The lesson for us is to put up a fight as the righteous remnant in our nation today. There is no nation that will flourish without the mercy and the blessing of God. Therefore, it's foolish to think that abandoning him and abandoning the Bible is the way to make our own society better. One of the other things that we need to remember is that for as much as unbelievers balk about the religious right, religious or moral politicians or Charlie churches in their neighborhood who are always pushing their morals on other people, for as much as they might complain about that, they truly would not want the alternative. Proverbs 28 and verse 12 says, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. Christians are appreciated unwittingly, unknowingly, every day for their righteous stand, because without them, injustice would reign supreme. Even though we don't always realize it, we should consider ourselves extremely fortunate when moral people flourish and prosper as administrators, as leaders, as people who run companies and large institutions. Honest leaders make those institutions, including our government, more stable. And far too many people in our world suffer greatly under the iron curtain of evil dictators. Some people in our postmodern world complain often about how religious crazies have taken control of the government, and they would rather have atheists run our land. According to a poll done by the University of Connecticut, 68% of respondents stated that they do not like it when politicians rely on religious beliefs to make public policy decisions. And even among those who consider religion extremely important, 51% said that religion should play no part in politics. Let's think about that. What would be the alternative? The most atheistic countries in history have turned out to be the most brutally tyrannical. From the Soviet Union to China to Nazi Germany and North Korea and Vietnam and many others that espouse atheism have turned out to be disturbingly cruel to humanity. Just as Proverbs 29 and verse 12 says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. When the righteous people of the world decrease, however, only wicked men replace them, and eventually, only fear reigns supreme. Consider a few applications. When righteous people decrease, freedom of speech is lost, not gained. Fewer people will stand up for what is right when there's a risk. Fewer people will get involved in noble causes. People don't venture into certain parts of town out of fear of the wicked because the wicked have overrun those neighborhoods. People go into hiding. The core problem with an atheistic political system is that it places no spiritual value on humanity. And if there is no God, then we don't have souls. This is just a dog-eat-dog world, and the powerful will always abuse their position. Christians, however, though opposed to sin, are very much in favor of valuing humanity in every stage of human development. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, by way of conclusion, in Matthew 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, one point to make about this before we move on is that when we do our good deeds, it's not so that people will glorify us, so that people will say how great we are. It's so that people will see God working in us. And when they see us living the life of a Christian in a consistent and honest manner, they'll glorify God. Let God be seen in you. Let God be seen in how you work at your job. Let God be seen in how you study at school. Let God be seen in how you maintain your home. Let God be seen in how you discipline your children. Let God be seen in your language and the kind of TV shows and the kind of music that you participate in. Let God be seen in all of those things. People will glorify your Father who is in heaven because of your good works. Our self-perception is so important to how we will affect the world. If we don't see ourselves as valuable, then we probably won't be valuable. Unbelievers will see our negative self-perception and perceive it as weakness. But if we see ourselves the way God wants us to, then we'll realize just how important the Christian faith is to the spiritual survival of the world. We're lights. Even in the midst of great darkness, even when no other light can be found, even when our light seems to be so diminished by the increasing darkness all around us, our very presence makes a difference. Whether there are 10 million Christians, a million Christians, or just one, we make a difference. My presence in the United States of America assures others that it is all right to pursue spiritual things. I can be a constant reminder to people that there is a spiritual side of life that needs feeding. My example as a parent can help others along the path of proper discipline in their own homes. Seeing me discipline my children in righteousness can reaffirm in people's minds that it actually works. The example of a Christian wife reveals the immense beauty in the oft misunderstood word, submission. Our culture places a premium on money and independence and individualism and outward beauty. That you really are a unique breath of fresh air when you act the way a godly woman ought to. Our young people can be lights as well when they buck the trends and live godly, respectful, disciplined lives in spite of the examples, the abundant examples of their peers who live otherwise. The Christian has a very revealing effect on the world. If we are, in fact, the light of the world, then it is our influence that will show what is good for humanity in light of their Creator. Now, let's understand, the best way that you can bring about change might not necessarily be in how you vote or what politician is in Washington, D.C. right now. Those things are passing and they're limited. We can't always help what goes on in our government. We can't always stop the decisions that our government is going to make. And that's fine, because our home is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. That's where our Savior is. No, the best thing that you can do is to simply be a Christian where you are. Be a Christian in your neighborhood. Be a Christian in your family. Be a Christian at your job. Be a Christian everywhere you go. And make the difference in the little things that you do, the little gestures of love and mercy, forgiveness, compassion, and grace. Now, if you're not a Christian, then reach out to the Monte Vista Church of Christ to find out just what you need to do to be saved.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.